You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when to turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to our conversation today. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. And we have a special blessing today. Yes, Indigenous story time. Won't that be fun? The elders have given us their grace for us to do this and given us stories to share. So some of you know that I do teach an Indigenous Storytime class, and several of them actually, and I enjoy doing that so much, but this is the first time I've been given dispensation because we have such big waiting lists and all the children can't possibly get into my classes, so here is a chance for you to enjoy Indigenous Storytime. Indigenous stories are how we did everything. In the old ways, in the old past, we did everything with stories. If you needed to learn a lesson about how to behave or how to act, you learned it with stories. If you needed to learn how to do something, like bead or bake or hunt or fish, you learned it by following people who knew how to do it. Your loved ones, your tribal members, they taught children. The children watched and did and learned. And then there were stories that they also learned. We all learned as stories as children that taught us how we should be in this world, how we could walk in this world in a good way with a good heart and a good mind. We also learned what not to do from stories. Stories were very important in teaching us things that we shouldn't do and why. Some of our core sacred values, they came through stories and spending time with our tribal members, our family members, our loved ones, and each other. In the old days and in the old paths, we did everything with baskets. Baskets were woven from honeysuckle vines or other kinds of materials. There were big baskets, and there were small baskets. There were baskets that were lined on the inside with pitch and tar and gum and resin, and they could carry things that were wet. There were baskets that were used to carry the things that we used to sew or to bead. Baskets were used to store food and gather. Baskets were so important that it was a great compliment if someone said that your baskets that you made had a tight weave. Well, this story tells us about a very, very important basket, but also the importance of respecting our elders and everyone else. In the old ways and in the old paths, the animals could talk. They could still talk now, and they understand one another. But then, the animals all understood each other, and even people could understand them, and they could understand us. But there was a problem. A big problem. A really big problem. A tremendous problem. It was dark. In the beginning of days, it was dark. Without form, without void, it was dark. All the time, every day, all of the days, all of the hours of every day, it was dark. It was dark when you awoke in the morning, and it was dark when you went to bed at night, and it was dark when you tried to walk around and bump into things, and it was dark when you lay down and gave it up for the day. It was so dark that the animal people decided to have a council. Because a council is the best way to solve a problem. Everyone knows something, and everyone can share their knowledge with one another. Everyone can talk together and make the decision. Perhaps a family council if you have a family problem, or a tribal council if you have tribal issues to solve. But a council is a great way to talk. And in a circle, everyone is equal. No one is more important. No one is better than anyone else. The circle is a good way to have a council. In fact, some councils still take a feather, a talking feather or a talking stick, and whoever is holding the feather or whoever is holding the stick is allowed to speak, and everyone else must listen and be respectful, taking turns until it's their time to share. Well, the animals decided to have a council. They decided to have it in the forest where most of the animals in these places live, and they decided to have it next to the river, because a council is only good if everyone has access to it, if everyone is welcome and everyone can come. And by having it next to the river, the fish who lived in the river and the frogs, the tadpoles, the small things like snails, salamanders, and little lizards and geckos, they could all come because they lived in the river. And if anyone was thirsty from all of the council talking, they could have a drink of water. The trees housed the wonderful winged friends, the birds, and there were plenty of trees around. As the council began, the eagle spoke first. The eagle is greatly respected, Awohali, because he can fly so high. "We are having a council to discuss an important problem," he said. "It's dark," said the mouse. "Yeah, it's dark all the time," said the raccoon. "Dark, dark, 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 dark," said the beaver. "It's very difficult for me to do my work." "It's dark," said the deer. "I'm forever bumping into things," said a tiny bird, "when I try to fly." "Yes," said the fox. "I think we've all agreed it's dark." And it was. "But I know something," said the hawk, Tawod, who was very respected for being able to fly so high, for its sharp, keen, intelligent eyes and wisdom. "I have seen something." "What? What did you see?" said the possum. What did you see?" said the bear. "I have seen a great ball of fire. When I fly so high in the sky, I see a great ball, and it is light." All of the fish began to flop their tails and swim and splash around. This was very exciting news, and the frogs and toads were very excited. "A great ball of fire," said the bear. "I don't think I've ever seen such a great ball of fire," said the turtle. And everyone respected the turtle because he had lived such a long time and would live on so much longer more. "Well, this is important news," said the eagle. "And the only problem is that we must go and we must get it." "Yes, we must bring it here," said the raccoon. "I will go with you. I need a ride, but I will get this fire for you." Everyone was very excited. The snails were chattering amongst themselves, and so were the salamanders. And so, the eagle took the raccoon up to the great ball of fire. as the raccoon reached out his little hands, which are usually so clever and useful. Raccoons can open shells and find food with their little fingers. But as he reached out, his fingers were burnt. And so were his eyes and his tail. As they returned to the earth, all of the other animals were very sad to see that Raccoon had a burnt stripe across his eyes and burnt rings on his tail, which he still has to this day. Frog and Toad said that they would take care of him with cool water, and everyone else was very sad. Oh, no! Just oh, no! Said the songbirds. They were very disappointed. Flying is very challenging in the dark, if you don't have the right kind of eyes. I'll go, said the buzzard. I can fly, and I can fly high, and I will go. By yourself? Said the possum. Yes, said the buzzard. That way no one else will get hurt. And the buzzard took off and went in the direction of the great ball of fire. And when he got close to the fire, oh, no! The buzzard, who used to have a full, fine head of feathers, now was bald and ugly. Oh, oh my, said everyone. They were very sad and very disappointed when the buzzard returned and it was still dark. I'll try, said the turtle. Oh, respect, especially of elders, is very important, but, well, I'm not sure that you should go, said the fox. I don't think you should go at all, said the wolf. This looks very dangerous, and you are very elderly. Okay, said the turtle, but I have my own armor. And so the turtle took flight on the back of the eagle, and the eagle flew into the sky and near the great ball of fire, and oh no. Turtle was all right because he pulled into his shell, but there were cracks and lines in his shell now, and you can see them there until this very day. Everyone began to cry. It was dark, and it looked like it would always be dark, and it looked like it would always be terrible, and even people who wanted to solve the problem couldn't. Perhaps we should just go home, said the squirrel. We've already adjusted to the dark, said the mole. No sense in trying to see if you can't. And the mole, to this day, lives under the ground, blind. I'll go, said a small voice. Who was that? Who said that? Said the wolf. I'll go, said a small and rather rickety voice. I said I'll go, said the voice. Who is that? Said the beaver. I mean, after all, it was dark, and the voice was very small. Oh, said the deer. It's Grandmother Spider, said the elk. Everyone decided to show great respect because the spider was an elder, a grandmother, and grandmothers and grandfathers should always have great respect from us, because we respect our elders and our ancestors. With all due respect, said the elk, you are very small. And also old, said the mouse, who was small but young. We respect you very much, very, very much, said the owl. But this does not look safe for an elder, especially not one of your size. I'll go, said the grandmother spider. I said, I'll go. All right, said the eagle. I'll take you. And I'll go with you, said the hawk. Yes, let's go. Grandmother Spider climbed up and made herself comfortable in the feathers. And the hawk and the eagle took off soaring into the sky, very high, toward the great ball of fire and the great ball of light. Something was happening as they flew past the sun. Grandmother Spider was moving her tiny, bent, arthritic limbs. She was moving her little body side to side. And then, as they flew near that great ball of fire, that great light we call the sun, Grandmother Spider moved just a little bit, but nothing happened to her. And the eagle and the hawk flew back to the earth, and they landed safely. All of the animals were very afraid that their elder might have been hurt or burnt or wounded or lost. But she was not.
I brought the fire, said Grandmother Spider.
And she opened the lid to a tiny basket. And it was so bright, all of the animals could see. Grandmother Spider had woven a rope from her spider web silk, and she had thrown it out and pulled back some fire into a little basket that she had woven herself from the silk of a spider web. She had it in a lid and a basket, and she brought it safely back to the earth. And when she opened that basket, everyone could see. And yet they weren't getting burnt or hurt. Oh, immediately all of the animals began to help, because things are better when we do them together. If you want to go fast, go by yourself, but if you want to go far, go together. And that goes for building a campfire as well. All of the animals put sticks and rocks and all kinds of things into a formation. And Grandmother Spider put some of that light into that spot, and it became the first fire! Oh, from then on, people and animals and birds and everyone who needed light could see. And they could stay warm. They could cook their food. They could warm their bath water. They could tell stories like this one around the campfire. That's the way the elders told me the story of the first fire, and I'm telling it to you. One of the most important lessons we'll ever learn is to be kind. To be kind to one another, be kind to others, even if they're different from us, or smaller, or younger, or older, or weaker, or they look different, or they are different, or their language is different. We must be kind. We must learn to be kind. And my Uncle Jerry Wolf gave me this story. In fact, I have a wonderful video my nephew took of him teaching me this story and asking me to tell it. He was a great man, beloved man of the Cherokees, and World War II veteran, D-Day, Normandy. And a great part of my life, I spent a lot of time with him, and I loved every minute of learning from him. He taught me a lot, and I'm very grateful, always. One of my greatest memories and thoughts of him is that he said to me, "You should sing in Cherokee." And then he taught me. I sang in the Cherokee choir. I sang mostly solo, special music, but he was a great friend to me, as well as a wonderful uncle, and a brilliant storyteller. And he gave me this story and told me to tell it. So I'm telling it to you now the way he told it and taught it to me. Well, you know, we have light now, and everyone can see, and they can see that the forest is a beautiful place. The woods, the thickets, the groves. The river is lovely, light and beautiful and clear. You can even see to the bottom. It's so clean. And so, now that they can see, the animals decide to have a great ball game. I don't know if you've ever seen stickball before, but in many tribes, people play stickball. And it's called the little brother of war, because often people use stickball to settle disputes. If they were angry, or instead of going to war and having lots of armies that fought and bled and died, a stickball game could settle it. And it wasn't a friendly game. No, people got injured, bones got broken, people played very roughly. They had a stick, and they had to catch and throw the ball with that stick. You can't use your hands. You can't, you know, you're not supposed to do certain things. You're supposed to use the stick. So the animals decided to have a great ball game. Well, they decided to choose teams. They decided that the eagle would be captain of one team, and the bear would be the captain of the other. Oh, how exciting for all the animals. The animals wanted to play. Every animal thought this would be fun. And so, the biggest animals were chosen first. The elk, for example. The fastest animals who could run and were very powerful, like the wolf, were chosen fast and first. The animals were quickly chosen into teams, and those animals that were not going to play in the great ball game were going to sit in the trees if they were birds or tree animals, or sit in the river if that was their home, or sit by the sides of the ball field and watch this great ball game. And all of the teams were getting ready and taking their places, and suddenly they heard a tiny voice. "I want to play." "Who said that?" said the wolf.
I want to play, please."
"Who is that?" said the great deer.
Who wants to play?"
said the beaver.
"I do. I want to play, please, in the great ball game."
Everyone turned around, and there was a tiny little mouse. Oh, he was so small. Oh, said the wolf. "It's you. No, you're too small."
"You are very small," said the elk. "I would hate for you to get trampled or to get hurt."
You're small," said the fox, "and you don't look like you'd be very fast." "And definitely not very clever," said the possum.
"No," said the bear. "You cannot play in the great ball game. You are too small. You will get hurt."
I want to play, please," said the mouse, whose heart was breaking.
"I understand that," said the hawk, who is always known for being very wise and sensible. "I understand that you want to play, but why don't you sit on the sidelines and cheer? You can enjoy the ball game even if you don't play in it."
"No, thank you," said the mouse. "I would like to play in the great ball game, please."
"Oh, no, we don't have time for this. Get out of here," said the wolf, and he kicked the little mouse. He kicked the little mouse, and the little mouse rolled away. And all of the other animals went back to getting ready for the great ball game.
"That's no way to treat a person," said the mouse.
Tears were in his eyes, and he was very sad. He looked up, and there was the eagle. "I'm sorry that happened," he said. "They shouldn't have done that to you. You're too small to get in the middle of the game. But you can run around at this part of the field if you want. Just stay out of the way." Well, the mouse felt better right away.
He straightened up and got ready to play. And oh my goodness, there was running, there was throwing, there was jumping. Sticks were clicking and clacking together. And people were trying to get the ball away from one another. Every animal was busy in this ball game. And the mouse stayed in his little area where he was supposed to be. And he ran back and he ran forth. And he ran back and he ran forth. And when they jumped, he jumped, and when they rolled, he rolled, and he acted just like he was in the middle of the game, only he was safely on the other side. And then, oh my goodness, such a fray, such an excitement. The ball began to roll away, and it rolled away from the elk, and it rolled beyond the fox, and it rolled past the wolf, and it rolled away from the bear, and it rolled all the way down the ball field, right in front of the mouse. It was coming right toward him, but he didn't run away, and he wasn't scared. He started running right toward that ball, and all of a sudden, the Creator saw that that little mouse was brave, that he had played the game in his part of the field, even when he wasn't welcome to play with the other animals. And as the ball rolled toward the mouse and the mouse ran toward the ball, all of a sudden, Mouse reached out his tiny arms to catch that big ball, which was going to smash him. And the Creator did something wonderful. And all of a sudden, little arms reached out for the ball, flew! His little arms turned into wings. And he was able to capture that ball and fly through the sky and over all the other animals and score the winning goal. The winning point. That little mouse had become a bat. And that's why we have bats to this day. That's one of the ways I heard that story, and that's the way they told it to me. There's some great stories on this path, and that one teaches us that we should always be kind and respectful. Never be a bully, never hurt anyone's feelings. Never be unkind to people or mistreat them. You never know who the Creator is smiling on. You never know who's going to be the person that does the Creator's work in a situation. We have to remember that everyone is worthy of respect and that we must walk with honor in a good way, with a good mind, with a good heart, always. I hope you enjoyed Indigenous Story Time. I'm so thankful to our elders who taught me these stories and told me that I could share them. And I'm so thankful for each of you who enjoyed these wonderful stories with me today. Every culture has stories. What are yours? Learn them. You could draw pictures of them. You could learn to tell them. These stories aren't written down. They were taught to me, and I remember them, and I tell them to you. And now, you can tell your stories to others. Stories are a wonderful way to learn about our history and to remember it, to learn about our lives and our cultures, our ancestors and our elders. Stories are a blessing. Thank you so much for spending this Indigenous story time with me. When we come back, I'm going to have a very special message, a spiritual message that will uplift your heart and encourage you, and it's for everyone of all ages.
Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe they get on their knees and pray her. They pray her and never look back once the world forgave you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast, click on Play, or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something, serious. I know you love me, I know you like using me wherever you are, but I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see.
D-E-P-R.
Mental illness doesn't show up on a scale.
Bipolar?
Sorting out a mental health concern takes professional diagnosis and treatment.
Anxiety. I thought so.
If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support.
Meet Norm. He lives with anxiety, but with the help of this latest innovation from Be Normal, he can be normal, just like everyone else. With the swipe of a finger, you can project happiness, confidence, machismo. Why settle for being real when you can be normal? The Normal Maker. New from Be Normal.
This item doesn't really work because there's no such thing as normal. We're all different. What we like, how our brains work. In fact, 1 in 5 of us live with mental illness. Don't filter who you are. Start by talking to someone you trust. And remember, there is no normal.
What do you think you're doing, Kevin?
I was just gonna drive home.
There are several warning signs present that you shouldn't be driving.
Like hearing voices?
Like your text to emoji ratio?
Oh man, the selfies.
Selfie nailed it.
We all have warning signs that let us know that we're probably not okay to drive. Mine is pretending to be your subconscious.
Craig, come on man, let's put a ride home.
The life of every child is precious. If you care for a child or teenager with a disability and have limited income and resources, they may qualify for monthly cash payments through the Supplemental Security Income Program, or SSI. Call Social Security at 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/ssikids to learn more. That's ssa.gov/ssikids. Message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
And you come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees. They pray hard, they pray hard. And never look back once the world forgave you.
Chio, that's how we say hello here on the Koala Boundary Reservation in the Great Smoky Mountains of Cherokee, North Carolina. Tough times. Inflation, price gouging, and a pandemic still raging. And have you seen this political cycle? Yikes. I think I can help. Jesus. Yep, that's it. I mean, sometimes you just have to go back to the basics. Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, and that has to be the absolute desire of your heart and decision of your mind. Let's ask Jesus to help us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are that God, that you are that God, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And we thank you that there is no other God that is able to deliver after this sort. And you are our God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to visit with you for just a few minutes about a couple of words that are in the Word of God. And they are incredibly helpful. They are incredibly wonderful. They are incredibly enlightening. And they're also just written in the margins. The Bible in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Bible is our sure foundation. Yet in many Bibles and in lectionaries and calendars and other kinds of liturgical material, there are two little words that are sort of written in the Bible, not added to or taken away from Scripture, but they're just there. Ordinary time. Ordinary time is that time when it's not Christmas, it's not Easter, it's not leading up to Christmas or Easter, it's not the Yuletide season or the Eastertide season, it's behind Pentecost but ahead of Advent. Just ordinary time. And for those of us in the still coveting community, ordinary time might have a special, certain significance. Those little words of ordinary time are written to let us know that there's no feast or festival, or Saints Day, or holiday. But I'm starting to think that most of our lives are spent in ordinary time. And I've also lived long enough to really believe that there's no such thing as ordinary time. I mean, there is, liturgically speaking, but all of it, if we add God to the equation, because little is much if God is in it, is extraordinary time. I'll show you. I want to take us to Luke chapter 2. And, I know it's not Christmas. It's ordinary time. But I want us to look here. We've had the beautiful nativity. The Virgin Mary has given birth to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Joseph, isn't he a hero in this story? He's going to be the foster father of Jesus Christ, raise him as his own. But they do what every family does eventually. They go to the temple to make an offering and have a blessing for their son, who is the Son of God. And I want us to look at this and think about ordinary time. I know it's a Christmas time scripture, but we're going to talk about ordinary time. And to offer a sacrifice, Luke 2:24. According to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man at Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. This isn't Pentecost. So that's pretty remarkable. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit. That'll probably preach right there. Karah, right place, right time. Because he came by the Spirit, right? Spirit will put you in the right place at the right time and not the wrong place at the wrong time. Into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That's Simeon. Can you imagine? Wow. You've actually been told by God himself that you can't die until you see the Messiah. Well, car ran a red light. You're all right. You haven't seen the Messiah yet. Childhood diseases. He's okay. He can't die until he's seen the Messiah. I mean, that's an incredible position to be in. And sounds like it would have a lot of ordinary time. But we'll get there. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, you see that? Timing is everything. Timing is everything. That instant. If she'd have gone out to visit with a friend or had gone over to the store for a minute, that instant. Gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Amen. Ordinary time. The Bible, a lot of the time, acts like a highlight reel. Go read the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11, right? We see all the people that did exploits and knew God and believed God and their faith did amazing things. And the writer even says there's not time to tell you of all the exploits and fantastic miracles that have been done by people of faith. But you know what? That's the highlight reel. Because in between Noah surviving the ark with his family and all the animals, there's him swinging a hammer day in, day out, banging on that gopher wood and putting it together like God said, using the right dimensions and the right tools and bringing in all the animals and getting ready for them and convincing his family and trying to do what God said. That's a lot of ordinary time. The Bible gives us extraordinary time, right? Joshua speaks and says, sun, stand still. Moon, stand thou still. And it does in the middle of a battle. And yet, Joshua spends a lot of ordinary time pouring water on the hands of Moses, meaning serving him. See, we talk a great deal about the moment when Esther goes before the king and saves her people. Perhaps you were created for such a time as this. But Esther's an orphan, being raised by Mordecai, which means there's days and days and days of ordinary time in her life. Simeon has a promise from the Holy Ghost himself that he won't die until he meets and sees the Messiah. Now, a lot of us, we would cheer. Oh, praise God. That is so wonderful. But is it though? Because what it means is that as Simeon, at first, it was pretty great. The donkey stumbled on the trail. Simeon knew he was all right. He hadn't seen the Messiah yet. Everybody else around him was catching leprosy, but he couldn't die because he hadn't seen the Messiah. He hadn't seen the Lord's Christ yet. But did there ever come a point where Simeon's friends and family began to pass away? And he's an old man now, and it's getting kind of long, and you haven't seen the Lord's Christ yet. Are you sure? Did God say? Ordinary time. Getting up in the morning, going to bed at night. You haven't seen the Lord's Christ yet. Getting up in the morning, going to bed at night. The years pass by, the people pass on. And you haven't seen the Lord's Christ. Ordinary time. Some of you right now have a promise of God that you are waiting on. Some of us are just waiting on a good vaccine. Just end this plague of COVID, please, with something that is more protective. You put your mask on. You take your mask off. Everybody else goes out to brunch in big crowds, but you stay home. You're doing everything outdoors. And winter is coming. Ordinary time. You get dressed up to go to the living room and then go back to the kitchen. I love remote work. I love working from home. I really do. I did it before the pandemic and I love it. I direct a nonprofit. And some days I think, I'm all dressed up to sit right here. Ordinary time. And yet, his ordinary time becomes extraordinary time in this one moment. A young couple comes into the temple. There have been a lot of young couples over the years, I'm sure, bringing their children and their turtle doves. There have been a lot of families that Simeon has seen come in and out over the years, but this one is extraordinary. The ordinary time of coming to the temple and praying and believing God and holding on to that promise is about to be redeemed with a nice little couple from Nazareth and the Savior of the world. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Isn't that amazing? It's been ordinary time for years. He got a promise from God, and he has walked in it all these years. And on a day, isn't that a wonderful thing? This happens so often in the Bible. On a day. What day? On a day. Just on a day. On a day. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, oh, how wonderful. You see, I'm wondering if there's no such thing as ordinary time. Yes, there is on the calendar, but maybe when we walk with God, our ordinary time is completely redeemed. The psalmist says, my times are in thy hands. Daniel says, God changes the times and the seasons. I don't think God wears a watch, but if he did, it probably says due season. He does. It probably doesn't have time on it, but God exists outside of time, but he redeems the time for our sake in the name of Jesus. One day, all those days that were so similar, that were so ordinary, become extraordinary. Why? Because of the presence of Jesus. Did you see this? That's who makes the difference. Young couple after young couple offering sacrifices. That's happened for Simeon's whole life. But the difference is the presence of Jesus. The presence of Jesus in this situation makes this change from ordinary time to extraordinary time. The presence of Jesus in your family right now changes ordinary time to extraordinary time. The presence of Jesus in your apartment right now changes ordinary time to extraordinary time. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Isn't that wonderful? All the ordinary time is extraordinary time. Simply because we have taken the gift of salvation. Jesus is in our hearts, and because of that, all of our time is sacred. I want us to look at Anna, because Anna really does speak to a lot of us in the still COVIDing community. I've never had COVID. My family has never had COVID, but we're hardcore COVIDers in the woods, no other people. And but some of you are suffering from long COVID or have lost loved ones or even the economic situation or the political situation or whatever it is that you're going through right now. I want you to look at something with me. Anna was a prophetess, and that's very important. The Bible says that about her. That's, you know, and the Bible doesn't waste words, right? So clearly she's very special in this way. But it says that she got married and her husband died 7 years later. And now it's 84 years later. What about ordinary time that is excruciatingly ordinary? That moment when the person you loved is no longer in the living room with you. You sit down and maybe you're in your apartment and you live by yourself and you're by yourself all the time. Maybe you have a pet. Maybe that pet has passed on. Maybe you're by yourself and you're lonesome. Anna can talk to you about lonesome. And yet God says she's a prophetess. And she's not lonely because she's not terrific. She's just widowed. heartbroken, disappointed, grief-stricken. But thank God that Jesus heals the brokenhearted and binds up our wounds. What happens when ordinary time becomes excruciatingly ordinary? These people in the house with you are getting on your nerves now. It's painful that you missed your sister's wedding. It's heartbreaking that you don't feel well enough to do what you used to do. It hurts that everyone else has moved on and acts like it's just a cold or there's nothing to be worried about, and you are still trying to take precautions so they don't invite you anymore. Excruciatingly ordinary time. Anna knows about that. 64 years. That makes me think about Ruth and Naomi. We know the book of Ruth. We know the story of Ruth. And everybody who's single knows the story of Ruth, right? Ruth gets her Boaz and everybody says, yes, praise God and all of that. And that's wonderful. But they forget about the ordinary time. Ruth and Naomi were loved. They had a family. They had hope in their lives. They had things to do. And through changes and events and heartbreak, they end up picking up other people's trash off the ground, looking for something to eat by gleaning, which is a nice way of saying rags and bones and scraps. And every day, Ruth goes out to that field and she picks up trash, handfuls, scraping, and knows that this is so different than the life she once had. Surviving on crumbs that others disdain, until Boaz has mercy on her and tells his workers to leave handfuls on purpose for her so she can actually pick up something substantial. And then she goes home to Naomi and they have another dinner of barley. Barley, 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 barley. Grain, 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 grain. And they're grateful. But it's excruciatingly ordinary time. It's painful. But on a day, God redeems that excruciatingly ordinary time for Ruth and Naomi. She marries Boaz. She has Obed. Naomi gets to take care of him and have a grandchild. And everyone lives happily ever after because of the redemptive power of God. But let's come back over here to Anna. 64 years of excruciatingly ordinary time. A widow on Monday, a widow on Tuesday, a widow on Wednesday, a widow on Thursday, a widow on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, repeat. For 64 years. But here's the mercy of God in all of her excruciatingly ordinary time, and any of you who have excruciatingly ordinary time. God is merciful. It says here that she departed not from the temple, the presence of God, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. God will use your ordinary time. Even your excruciatingly ordinary time, he will give meaning and purpose to you. When you were in the womb, he knew you. And he had a good plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, and their thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end, to give you a future and a hope. And here is what he did for Anna. He gave her a purpose. She's a widow, all right, but she's a prophetess. Yeah, it's been lonely, I'm sure. But she's in the presence of God in the temple. And she has fastings and prayers, and she can intercede for others, and she can believe God and commune with him. She's serving God in the midst of her excruciating, ordinary time. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. Did you see that? Just like that. The presence of Jesus redeemed her excruciatingly ordinary time too. We saw Simeon's ordinary time be redeemed, and now even someone who's been suffering, their time is changed and transformed and redeemed in the presence of whom? Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is right there with you in that living room. He's right there with you when you're having those groceries delivered or when you're explaining to your children why they have to wear a mask. He's right there with you in that hospital room. Jesus loves you. You are in him as he is, so are we in this world. You're in him. You're as close to Jesus as you'll ever be. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what it is like, Jesus loves you. This we know. And in 1 minute, here comes Jesus. And his beautiful parents. And Anna's whole suffering, loneliness, isolation, whatever you want to call it. I'm sure she had a fulfilling ministry as a prophetess. I'm sure she loved fasting and prayer and spending time with God. But in that moment, oh, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. And to close, I want us to look at what they do with Jesus. Because we've got to decide what to do with Jesus, who is redeeming our ordinary time right now. Right now. Because he's present with us. Simeon meets Jesus, blesses God, and says, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart. I'm sorry. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Okay. He's just. He's devout. That's perfectly fine. He's ready to go. But look at Anna. Look at Anna for me. Look at Anna for me. I need you to see something else that we can do now. We might not be ready to go, but we have something we can do with our ordinary time. And she coming in that instance gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She used her excruciatingly ordinary time to serve the Lord. And she's using her extraordinary time to serve the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? She served God when it was hard and when it was lonely. And she served God by becoming basically an evangelist once her promise was fulfilled. What will you do with your ordinary time? What will you do with your extraordinary time? God is redeeming your time right now, and he is blessing you to be a blessing to others. I know. And I believe that Jesus has a wonderful plan for you, for your ordinary time, for your extraordinary time, even for extraordinary times of suffering. He loves you so. You are so loved. Heavenly Father, help each one of us to know the love of Jesus Christ right now in our ordinary time and transform this ordinary time into extraordinary, blessed, bright, beautiful time. Help us to love our families, to serve the Lord, and to understand that you have a good plan for us because of your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees, they pray hard, they pray hard. And never look back once the world forgave.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.